Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Wrestle me, Mark. The worst start. Well,
that
done.
That is nowhere to start a podcast of any description, wrestling or otherwise.
That was a pitiful. A taste of things to come. I feel very, very much like I've not recorded anything for a long, long time.
Oh, right, okay.
I think when we record at the minute, it's quite a lot of the time it's under a bit of duress because we're like, we've only got a week in the bag and everything. I just feel like we haven't actually sat down and done this for a while.
Right. Well, I just sat down and done it.
I couldn't remember the phrase "wrestle me, Pete." How are you? What's going on?
I'm good. I've just had the first haircut after lockdown. Oh, it's so the sides of my head are so cool right now. Oh,
you look very good. You look a bit like a minor character from The Fifth Element.
Not our Vikings.
Yes, that's actually quite
everyone,
right.
Everyone's got an undercut and they're a bit blonde. So I've gone from full blonde to frotted tips.
Yes.
Hey, look, it's very wrestlery. It's a very wrestlery.
It is. It is. It looks very good. I'm very impressed with it. I think it's absolutely banging. I look like Dutch Mantel. You know who you look like, Pete? You look like CM Punk, don't you?
Do I? Yeah.
Here's a little tweet I got this morning from Jimmy Steamboat. He writes a bit of a strange one.
Right.
But I found an old photo of Pete in Google Images, and then I posted it into the wrestling subreddit claiming it was CM Punk. It was quite successful. If
wonderful.
Pete needs a wrestler gimmick as Punk's Hartlepool cousin. Now, that's the picture of you there.
I caught a glimpse of that from over the room. That's me with my... when I was in my band One Eyed Willie.
Yes,
when
I thought it might be.
When I was 19 playing a Dan Electro. Never buy a Dan Electro new because the man who owns Dan Electro, I believe, is very anti-gay. Well, there you go.
The a rock musician doesn't like homosexuals burning their disco records. What venue was that in? Do you remember?
That was the... I think it might have been Stay Free... Or maybe the it wasn't a venue, that was a workout practice room.
Gotcha.
Might be Stay Free, might have been the one around the corner that whose name I forget in Leicester.
Anyway. Here's the thing: not a single person who's replied has any idea this isn't CM Punk. It has been taken entirely as gospel by everybody who has seen it.
Oh, magical!
You've got the mayor of Suplex City has commented here, Pete. He says, "Wait. This is actually uploaded by WWE. What?" So he's not only seen a picture of you, which is not of CM Punk, he's then gone, that means CM Punk's coming back to the WWE. I mean, he's really jumped too far. Friendly Fire 1977 says, "Love how huge those pants are. Brings back 90s memories." A lot of people who do post on Reddit always sound like 80s night... disc jockeys.
Right, okay. So, love those vibes.
Yeah.
Love those vibes.
Those pants bring back 90s memories.
Love those jorts.
Yeah. Here's Michael Bolton. Insomniac Inc. says, "It's like you can just hear the three-chord punk emanating from this picture." I mean, come on. We all played that stuff in high school, he says. Sleep is Wonderful says, "Putting Cena's jorts to shame."
I know, right?
And,
made them myself from bigger jeans.
Did you?
I did, yeah.
And King Fez says, "Now you might. This might be a reference that you will understand. Maybe this is something to do with the pop punk world,
right?
But he's written C. Anthony Punctano here.
C. Anthony Punctano.
So there's is there an Anthony something Tano?
I'm not sure.
I'm not going to get into analysing Reddit, you know, posts.
Reddit maniacs.
I mean, the idea that it means anything other than what he thinks it means, you know, that'll sort out Anthony Punctano, who I was at school with.
That's wonderful. Very enjoyable. I'll have to check that out later. No one tell them that it's me. Just let it shift into Google Images as CM Punk.
The thing that I did think about that is I was like, oh, that is funny. Well done, Jimmy Steamboat.
Well done.
Very, very well done. But I looked at it and I thought, the thing is, you see, like with WrestleMe, I do rely on Reddit and things that for information.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, how many things have I said over the course of the last 2 years that are just essentially Anthony Punctano, where I've sort of gone, interesting.
Oh, Anthony Punctano.
Yeah. Oh, did you know Lita once killed a policeman? You know, absolutely made up by some idiot.
Wonderful.
We had another tweet this week, which again follows on from you being like a wrestler.
Mm.
But we got a company called Vortex Pro Wrestling,
right,
who said when they do their first show back, would we like to go and be on rival sides in the main event tag team match where we would introduce the lads and get to do a promo?
Yes!
And I looked at that and I thought, do you know what? That would be quite fun. And even better, turns out that Vortex Pro Wrestling are based in Burnham.
Right.
Now, Burnham is a place.
Surrey?
Yeah, it's between Slough and Taplow.
Right.
And I was born in Taplow and I lived for the first 3 years of my life in Burnham. So I was thinking, this is the perfect homecoming story.
Oh, my word.
I thought, it's the classic promo, isn't it? Where you go, I was born right here in Burnham. And everyone would applaud. And I'll go, and at 3 years old, I got out as fast as I could. So I was thinking, this is tailor made. Pete, have you ever been unbooked? Vortex Wrestling have deleted that tweet.
Really?
I'm heartbroken.
Oh, why did they delete it? Did they talk to the uppers? The uppers? The upper management saw it and went, don't you bloody dare. Don't you fucking dare.
You've seen what goes on in here. You know, the last thing we need is two men coming down with microphones. I should stress it's not the West Country.
To be fair, I've still got that T-shirt that I'm wearing in the John Cena photo, so I could, and I do own Jots, so I reckon I could probably get, I just need to get some Etnies.
Fantastic. There are no real, like, pop punk gimmicks. You know, you've got sort of like Darby
there's
Allin.
There's a reason for that. There's no pop punk fans
anymore. I know. In AEW, who's got that skate sort of thing still going on, that hardcore thing. But yeah, I suppose the closest one would be Mark Andrews, the British wrestler.
Right.
He has his own band called Junior. And they're very much like, all their songs seem to go, whoa. it's very much not for me.
Enjoyable.
So, I mean, Vortex Wrestling, I presume it's fallen through because they've probably had a call from one of the bigger federations who have said, guys.
What time of the day was the tweet kind of posted?
Yeah.
It could have been late.
Do you know what? I think it was so early that it was very late. It is amazing that the British wrestling scene has been so decimated that we are now seen as being main event caliber. We just need two more. What about those guys who do that podcast that they swear in? Yeah, that'll do. Listening to this episode, he opened it wrong. Don't book him.
You couldn't seem to wrestle me, Mark.
And welcome back to a whole new set of fun. It's WrestleMania.
XXX. Triple X.
Triple X. Oh, so many boobies being seen.
Triple X was the man who turned into the Fast and Furious man.
Vin Diesel.
Chronicles of Riddick. Riddicks.
Yeah.
Vin Diesel. Triple X.
It's one of those films that came out. And that sort of, when they used that Triple X thing, it seemed very edgy.
Yes.
And it really sort of reclaimed the three
from letters. Yeah.
Yeah.
What does hardcore? Because Triple X was always hardcore, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So what does hardcore pornography do now? Well, they sleep with their mothers. Seems to be a lot of that.
And it's slightly mainstream now, isn't it?
It's everywhere,
I mean,
isn't it?
Yeah. It is that funny thing. This is not a, do you remember the 80s podcast? Mm. I mean, it's not a bad idea. the 80s wrestling we did was the best stuff we've ever covered.
Exactly.
But there is that thing of, you know, people do not understand how little pornography used to be accessible.
Yes.
And that, I don't know. I mean, nowadays it's very accessible, isn't it?
Oh, it's incredibly accessible. And people are just getting into deeper and deeper weird kind of... I was happy with boobies when I was young.
Yeah.
I imagine there's kids now who are obsessed with... I mean, go on any kind of internet... go on 4chan, for example. hugely into cuckolding.
Yeah.
Trans sexual porn stars.
Humiliation, sort of like, very big these days.
Humiliation
and operations.
It's just the... I don't know what's going on with the male ego recently. Look, transsexual porn, fine, but the whole cuckolding kind of being kind of dominated, kind of being the piss taken out of you, I just don't get that side of it. I'm embarrassed by my own body already. I don't need to be. I'm already laughed at in most of my sexual encounters. I don't need another guy in the room doing it.
I do get... Still, people on the street will occasionally, like, have a pop for no reason, you know? A bloke years ago asked me outside Kentish Town Tube Station if I had a lighter. And I went, yeah, there you go. And he went, yeah, cheers, big'un.
Big'un.
Big'un. Big'un. You know, what I didn't do is immediately go, oh, that's really hot. I thought that guy's a prick. What we're saying is if you're young and you're into something, you know, that is sort of a bit left field, you've got to stop. You've got to reel it back.
You've just got to stop. Just get into normal stuff.
There's nothing wrong with a little kiss.
Pokemon fine, hentai less so. Enjoy it, but don't make... people endure it.
No, absolutely not. Mm. Well, as they say, Pete, a good time occurs when we lose sense of what time it is.
Yes.
That's the opening line of this WrestleMania.
Awful. Fucking awful.
This is 4 hours long, and when I saw that, I was like, oh, I'm going to put this to the fucking test. Don't you worry. This is, how did you find it?
I thought it was brilliant.
Mm.
From start to finish. Divas, probably not. As always, they've never had a good match at WrestleMania in memory. It was just fucking great.
It flew by. It's a banger. What's sort of interesting about this, before we get into the WrestleMania that we saw, is how different this WrestleMania was going to be.
All right.
So it was in January, pretty much. They had an entirely different set of matches that they were going to have. Mm. Now, a lot of people have always said, oh, yeah, well, actually, you'll find that the Daniel Bryan storyline was completely set in stone. It's just they handled it really well and didn't reveal what was happening. Not true. Not true at all. So CM Punk went on Instagram long after he'd left the WWE, and he'd found the old running order for WrestleMania 30 when he was still on it.
Right.
So he'd left WWE before this WrestleMania, very unhappy with the way he was being treated by the company. But the original booking sheet would have had this this WrestleMania would have been Randy Orton versus Batista for the World Heavyweight Championship, Triple H versus CM Punk, Undertaker versus Lesnar, Cena versus Bray Wyatt, Daniel Bryan versus Sheamus, Big Show versus Kane, and Roman Reigns versus Dean Ambrose for the US United States Championship. Right. Punk talked a little bit about this whole match they tried to put together with Triple H, and he talked about it on Colt Cabana's Art of Podcast, I think, later this year. So we're in 2014 here. And he said he had a final meeting with Triple H and Vince McMahon, and Vince McMahon really tried to sell him on going, we'll give you the main event of WrestleMania. It'll be you versus Triple H. Punk then turned to Triple H and said, you were not very nice to me during my period when I was champion. I didn't think you treated me with any respect. Triple H said, well, do you know what? I'm happy to do the job at WrestleMania, to which Punk said, I'm walking away. And he told Colt Cabana, I didn't want to give him the fucking privilege. I mean, just you arrogant punky boy. What this really, really talked about is something that happened in WWE at this time, and it makes this WrestleMania so exciting, which is... they tried to push their agenda, which was going, Batista's come back. Mm. He's a big star. We're going to put him against Randy Orton in the main event. And that is a WWE-sanctioned match because Daniel Bryan is not the sort of person who is the face of this company.
Right.
And what was so exciting is the fans refused to accept that. They demanded that Daniel Bryan became the face of the company. And at WrestleMania 30, basically... they had a month in which they decided, yes, the fans might be onto something here.
Right.
Then he becomes the face of the WWE. And it's one of the most exciting storylines that I remember ever seeing. And I loved it so much. This slightly pulled me back into wrestling after a period of not being very interested, because the Daniel Bryan story was so exciting. And it was exciting because it wasn't about necessarily what he was doing in the ring, which was always really good. It was the sense that, will they let him win? And if he wins, he becomes a star. And if they refuse to make him a star, then it will just be awful.
Yes.
So what you get is a storyline that runs through WrestleMania that isn't just, is this man going to win the championship? Mm. It's saying, is the industry going to listen to this very vocal fan base and give them what they want instead of what they think they should have?
Right.
Thrilling! Mm. This was the first WrestleMania since WrestleMania 19 where John Cena didn't win a major championship or partake in the main event.
Right.
There had been other defences at WrestleManias, Eddie Guerrero at 20, Randy Orton at 24 and Triple H. But if you won the big belt and you weren't John Cena, then no one had done it since WrestleMania 19. That's astonishing. That's 11 years.
Yeah.
Essentially, you can talk about the staleness in that period.
And you know, the John Cena in this one, I really enjoyed the match.
Yeah.
Everyone was good.
Everyone is
was
good.
And they booked it right.
Yeah, the booking in this is a really a good example of how you can take matches that I don't think you're excited about, but so long as you end it right, you come out of it going, oh, great, enjoyed that. Yeah. This is also, you have to go back to WrestleMania 2000 for the last time every winner at WrestleMania was under 40.
Right.
So John Cena is the oldest winner in this. He was 36. The old stars do not win. So the Undertaker streak is broken. Triple H loses. Kane and the New Age Outlaws are pretty much squashed. So it's a sense of going, are we getting out of this real stale period? Mm. And are we going to see young, new, exciting people? Are they finally going to stop saying the best wrestler in the world is Kane?
Kane just gets foisted on people. They just don't know what to fucking do with
it. Yeah. It's all funny with Kane because he doesn't...
Bryan got it, didn't he? Bryan
he did, yeah. They put Daniel Bryan with Kane because they felt that Daniel Bryan needed star power.
What was his name? The Diggler? Not the Diggler. What, he's got the
Dolph Ziggler?
No. What was Bryan's... the Dagger or something? He was played like a superhero, kind of like... Oh, the Dingler or something. He had a stupid name.
Have you gone bananas? What is this? Is this some wrestling that I don't know about?
I'm sure he had a character.
Daniel Bryan, one of the greatest wrestlers in the world, was called the Dingler.
The Dingler or something. It was, I can't remember. I wrote it down. I'm sure it'll come up at some point. The Dazzler!
The Dazzler?
I swear he was called the Dazzler.
What's Dazzler? He was like,
I looked at loads of YouTubes and he was like this kind of mysterious magician kind of character. And he was the Dazzler.
Are you sure
I think
you were awake when this happened? Daniel Bryan is the Dazzler and he was a magician.
I was on Colt Cabana's podcast a few weeks ago and I was spaffing this stuff out. He didn't seem to mind.
You may well be right. The annoying thing is I have no way of checking this. So
I'm the only one with a computer and I don't have the Wi-Fi password. And I'm recording the show, so I don't want to use the internet.
I think sometimes it's nicer to leave some things uncertain.
We don't need to... I just tweet. Tweet Mark, it's fine.
This is set in New Orleans as well. And they open up with a little video of a sort of Mardi Gras band.
So good. Because on Baldwin Street, I've been to New Orleans. I've never planned on being in New Orleans, but I've somehow managed to be in New Orleans about five times. Uh-huh. I love that place because it is just drinking.
Yeah.
It is just... I know it's the home of jazz and the home of blues and the home of all that stuff, but it's just... Bourbon Street is just drinking.
Is it a big street? I don't...
No, not really. No. There's a lot of people drinking a drink called a hand grenade, which is a long plastic Perspex tube that I realise plastic and Perspex are different things. But you just drink really aggressive drinks while bands play Bruno Mars's song, Uptown Funk. And I remember watching one in one of the... Honestly, it's every bar plays Uptown Funk and maybe Santeria. By the band, who did Santa practice Santeria?
Was it the Dazzlers?
No. Well, they also did What I Got. Sublime!
Hey,
Not matter.
The name of the band doesn't help
matter.
Me form a mental
no,
image of
exactly.
anything better.
Yeah, the lead singer died after trying heroin once.
Yay!
Don't believe him. Do not believe his mother on that one. I think he probably liked a lot of it. Smirch the name of a dead man.
They can't sue. Carry on,
yeah,
happy.
It's fine. But yeah, he... They just play that. And I remember watching one band playing Uptown Funk for the millionth fucking time. Mm. And they got the big tips jar and they go around the table, you stick a couple of dollars in. But the lead singer was singing Uptown Funk With a full fucking band, all live instruments, wonderfully technically adept musicians. But this guy who was singing could not keep his eye off the television to his right behind the bar that was doing the arm wrestling championships. So he'd walk to the side of the stage, watch a bit of the arm wrestling championships, then run over and keep on doing up, down, funk, on, give it to you. Up, down, funk, on, give it to you. Oh, he's, I think he broke his arm there.
I always, when I see bits like that, because that bit where they all come through and they've got the floats and things, and they've got those sort of two-level houses on the side where people
kind
are on
French,
the balconies.
French Quarter. Yeah.
It just looks like a set. I think I'm used to it from like Live and Let Die, the Bond film, you know, where they come through with the sort of, you know, the funeral, that sort of thing. And it always has that film. But I've always felt that, is that just the road? Is it like Watford town centre?
It is so small. It is so small, Bourbon Street, and you can pay to have your own procession. So at any point, you can, you know, stick 500 quid in and a procession will follow you down the street. You can do that any time, I believe.
Amazing.
I remember, it was a girls' trip film with a lot of women. It's a bit like a Hangover, but female version of The Hangover. I think Girls Trip, I think it's called, was being filmed in New Orleans one time that I was there, and they were doing just filming constantly these kind of processions up and down the street and doing some acting and that. But what I like about that is that what I like about the WWE version of it, so you got all Big Show, everyone covered in beads and stuff. And
they take a bit of time to actually introduce the wrestlers, though. Yes. So I was watching it and going, this would have been much better with the fucking wrestlers in. And then you go, is that one? Oh, it is! Yeah.
But then, now, forever. Meaningless. But what I quite liked is they added in Shawn Michaels ziplining.
Yes!
through the what? The sky?
The air.
Just the air. He's so magic.
I'm ziplining off God's robe.
Down Bourbon Street.
The funniest thing about it, and it is absolutely, I had to go back and check it, but there's a cameo in there from Slick, the 80s wrestling manager.
Right.
And you only see him for a brief second.
Yeah.
I was like, if you've gone to the bother of getting him to come in, flying him over, just do a bit more.
Yeah.
You have him say a line at the end. Yeah. I don't know anything. Just like, welcome. He had a great sort of like a preachy voice as well. He did become a preacher after wrestling. But you want him to do that. The whole point of bringing the old wrestlers back is they do their catchphrases.
Well, was it not? Did they not sort of just cut some people out of old WrestleManias and stick him in the procession?
I don't think they did.
So he did look like an older man.
He is definitely in there. And he's turned up. And what's clear is after he became a preacher, I think he was like, well, I do the Lord's work now. Mm. Not necessarily going to dress as a pimp. And they were like, oh, but it's a, like, you know, New Orleans thing. It'd be great if you were at the front going,
Jesus knew a few prostitutes.
I'm a jab soul, bro. That sort of thing. Yeah.
Jesus knew a few sex workers.
I think there was an idea that maybe he'd said, well, maybe we could come to a compromise. And the compromise was they would put him in for a third of a second as a result. This opens up, and worth saying as well, absolutely beautiful, the Superdome.
Oh,
it's
wonderful.
A giant stadium, like all the outdoor ones, except it's got a roof.
Yes.
You slightly realise how much better they are with the roofs.
Yes, it's a stunning set. The crowd are hot. And my God, starting like that, like with the three men who turn up in the ring at the beginning.
I
was like, it got to pop out of me. I was like, fuck
yeah, it's honestly I was watching it last night with Liz, my wife, and she was, you know, she actually remembered this one really well. Strange thing to remember 6 years ago WrestleMania, haven't seen it once. But she'd forgotten that like Stone Cold then came out, and then you get the Rock out, and we watched that bit, and I would say it is one of the maybe five least embarrassing wrestling like in-ring chats of all time. It's everything that opening that a WrestleMania should be, where you are celebrating the history of this. All these people in the audience, it's not like they've got into it this year.
Yeah.
They got into it when they were kids.
Yeah.
And so you say to them, you've come to WrestleMania and here's a big surprise for you.
Yeah.
Yes, you knew Hulk Hogan was going to be the host, but then we put him in the ring with Austin and The Rock.
Yeah.
Austin versus Hogan, the big match that never ever happened. But what you have there is you have three guys who are undeniably three of the biggest wrestlers of all time. And they are all brilliant on the mic.
Yeah.
You know, that was one of their great selling points. They are so good in this section. It's just a simple sort of get the crowd excited, but there's absolutely nothing about it that isn't great. And it's made better by the fact that Hulk Hogan calls it the Silver Dome.
Fucks it up.
And within that bit, they boo, and then he suddenly realises. And actually, I mean, Hogan is always, you know, especially now where, you know, he's had these horrible things come out. And I say horrible things as if he's not the victim of that. Yeah. They are horrible things that he has generated. Yeah. but it's too easy to sort of go, oh, yeah, that guy was shit. He was the shit. And you see in this little bit how good he is. Mm. So he just comes out. He does his big you know, welcome, it's so great to be here at the Silver Dome. And the crowd boo. And you can just see behind his glasses, he goes, what's happening?
Yeah. How does he know? Because I wouldn't necessarily know. He's not got an earpiece in.
No.
I presume nobody's holding up a sign. Or someone shout? I can't figure it out.
I think he's just gone. That is not the reaction that Hulk Hogan gets.
I've never heard this before.
So what has happened here? Oh, I'm the only one speaking. Must be something that Hulk has said. Hulk, go back through memory. So I think he says it twice. So what's funny is when he fucks up that bit about the Silver Dome, he doesn't go, oh, sorry, made a mistake there.
No.
But his body starts rejecting him. So he says, first off, I'd like to welcome everyone here at the Silver Dome, here to WrestleMania 30, WWE Network to cry... to tear the roof off every... And it's like the initial mistake has suddenly gone, I infect you.
Yeah.
I infect you with mistakes. And so he's gone, right, I'm infected with mistakes. That means there must be a root cause, a patient zero of mistakes. And so he says it again, right here in the Silver Dome. And and he smiles. He goes, right, isolated it.
I've remembered.
It's the word Silver Dome. And he goes, I'm sorry, it's the Superdome. I was just thinking of body slamming Andre the Giant. Now I stand corrected by my Hulkamaniacs.
A wonderful rescue.
So good.
Hulkamaniacs. He's brought in Andre the Giant. He's brought the reason why he's there.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. He goes, here's my famous thing that you all know about me, Andre the Giant. That did happen in the Silver Dome.
Yes.
And then I've also saying, and thank you guys.
Yes.
Because you put the Hulk straight.
Yeah. And I can't do anything without you, vitamin guzzling maniacs.
What? An amazing talent.
And then he shouted the N-word. He undid it all.
Yeah.
Wait a second.
Why did they boo when I said Andre the Giant? Oh, I've said Andre. Oh, no.
Now, he wasn't even.
According to Hogan later, he said, the problem was I was actually reminiscing with people backstage about my Andre the Giant thing at the Silver Dome. And he said, I was just so pumped thinking about it on my way to the ring that I said it out loud. I mean... I can't imagine all the wrestlers were backstage going, hey, remember your Andre the Giant thing? And the first thing that Hogan says is, yeah, at the Silver Dome.
Man, that dome was silver.
Yeah. Now, Hogan, it's worth saying he's actually returned because he'd had a falling out with WWE after going in the Hall of Fame in 2005.
Right.
And Hogan and Vince McMahon's relationship, certainly in the 90s and 2000s, was always punctuated by them having falling outs. I think it was always Vince McMahon would sort of go, I think, you know, you're coming to the end of your career. Mm. And Hogan would be like, there's a lot of miles in the tank yet. And Vince would be like, yes, but you're also expensive. So, I mean, yes, there are, but...
Image right, Marvel.
So Hogan has actually been gone from the WWE for, I think, something like 7 or 8 years now. Right. Possibly 9. I mean, he's done his, in 2009, this tour of Australia called Hulkamania Unleashed, where he's taken on Ric Flair in main events. That's brought Ric Flair very publicly out of retirement. And I don't think, you know, WWE were over happy with that. Flair certainly looks back and wishes he hadn't done those, even though he said he did need the money. But they brought Hogan back really for one main reason. He's been in TNA 2009 to 13, but they brought him back in 2014 because they're launching the network. And the network is such an important part of... you know, the WWE's business plan going forward. Up to this point, it's still not really making a profit.
No.
But what it is an industry-leading sort of example of how you can lose money beautifully.
It is a work of art.
Yeah. What it had, of course, is basically because Hogan was such a central part of early WrestleManias and, you know, WWE from, if you like, 1984 until, well, easily 1992... What you're looking at there is a big section that if you don't want Hogan not to be part of your company.
Yes.
Because you are selling that back catalogue of his. And so having him on here was really important for the network. At this period, they begin sort of signing up Ric Flair again, just so they have that thing of going, here are the stars and you can see them, you know, all their work here.
Yeah. Remember that from your childhood? So you can watch everything they've ever done.
Exactly. So from the day they launched the network, they had every single WWE WCW and ECW pay-per-view was available. Cool. It was, I mean, it's so hard to remember what it was like when you couldn't just see any wrestling from the past.
It is, there's no other product on the planet like that.
No.
And I'm a football fan, and you are literally betrothed to the people who upload, you know, compilations of Leo Messi's first match to the theme tune of fucking Evanescence.
If we'd have been doing this in 2013, you would have had to come round to my house and we would have had to watch it on a video.
Yes.
And you would say, I'll probably get a copy of like WrestleMania 6 on video. And I'd go, well, I hope you've got £55. You know, it was that sort of level of difficulty. I mean, eBay was a big changer as well, because that did make a lot of stuff, certainly old stuff, available. Mm. But up until that point, this stuff, just you couldn't see it. Mm. Suddenly, for $9.99 a month, it was all there. Now, they also began bundling in the whole thing of going, you know, you get every pay-per-view for free if you have this thing. Now, pay-per-views used to be anything between $34.95 and you could go to like $80.
Yeah.
And $9.99, suddenly you've got WrestleMania. So this is the first WrestleMania that you get if you just have a network subscription. So it's probably seen by a huge number of people, but it doesn't have that pay-per-view record, because those pay-per-view records are now long dead. The network has destroyed it, much to their probable sort of slow regret, really.
Do they sort of onboard a lot of people and sort of go, why are you paying for the pay-per-view? Just sign up for the network.
Yeah.
We've all got computers.
Yeah, there was lots of a lot of the cable distributors and the pay-per-view providers didn't like the fact that on the shows they would be saying, get onto the network and you know you don't have to pay for this.
Yeah.
They're like, you're literally on my satellite channel, my pay-per-view providing platform, saying, here's how you can destroy the pay-per-view platform providing industry.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you can see why it was a slightly difficult thing. Now, at the time they
Patreon.com
did this...
Patreon.com/WrestleMe.
At the time they did this, they were saying, we do need 1 million subscribers for this to be breaking even. And of course, we'll get there. By the time we get to this WrestleMania, they had two-thirds of that. They had about 667. Okay. The network has never been as popular as they always imagined it would be. I think they would have taken a financial hit even if it had been. But I think they just thought, do you know what? Everyone's going to get this.
Yeah.
People who aren't into wrestling are just like, oh, but if I ever fancy some.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't work.
No one ever fancies a bit of wrestling. No. Have you ever been to a sports bar and it's just on? No.
No.
Well, maybe the arm wrestling champ after the arm wrestling championships.
But, I mean, you know, it is... It was a game changer. I am forever grateful for it. But I, again, we've talked about this before, but I think there is certainly a swing at the moment where they're saying we might have to get back to doing pay-per-view stuff, or there's different tiers within that.
Yeah.
Like our Patreon, there's one tier. We are very much the network in its early days when it was fantastic.
Hemorrhaging.
Within a year, Pete. All sorts of tricky, different things.
If you want us to appear at your wrestling event, that's going to be a crisp 20.
Well, you know, if you want Pete and I to wish you happy birthday, et cetera, you know.
I went on Cameo. I've bought a couple of cameos in the past. Steve Guttenberg. Who else have I bought? A footballer. I think a friend did Million Dollar
footballer,
Man.
Generic footballer.
I can't remember who it was now. It was Gabby Agbonlahor. It's quite expensive. And a couple of other people. I got my dad, the bald Hank out of Breaking Bad, to do him a Father's Day message. Which was
cool, right.
Anyway, it said one of the shit Baldwins. Stephen Baldwin. The usual suspects guy. The usual suspects and the big Trump supporter. And it said... It said, Stephen Baldwin is now available on Cameo. It said, Stephen Baldwin, Justin Bieber's father-in-law. It's so funny. So funny.
Reductive.
He's in The Usual Suspects. He's a shit Baldwin. He's not Bieber's father-in-law.
I mean, you can get any wrestler. That you want. They are all going to do it.
Well, we got the great... Craig bought the great Carly, of course, for the show.
Yes, yeah.
I think it was incomprehensible.
I think we did play that on a show. I mean, that is technically not allowed. But, I mean, where do you sue? Cameo is based presumably in the US. Carly is in India.
Yeah.
We're listening to it in Britain. I mean, good luck.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And on my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Jack Mate's Happy Hour is back for a brand new season. It's the podcast where we talk to some of the most exciting people in the world, from Ricky Gervais.
In some ways, fame makes you a better person. You know, it's like, I don't believe in God. I don't believe in God's watching me. But I know someone with
everyone else's.
To undercover police officers.
Can you see the fading scar there, gentlemen?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
That's where I was stabbed in the neck by a drug dealer once.
Or we just talk about whatever's making us laugh right now.
When you think back to school kid banter, like, it's well funny because of how immature it is. We had this teacher called Mr. McGibbon, and he had this big cushion that he was teaching us how to rugby tackle on. He just ran up to it, rugby tackled it, but landed on top of it, and one of the kids shouted, "It's not your wife, sir."
That is funny.
Listen to Jack Mate's Happy Hour on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Jack Mate's Happy Hour is a Stakhanov production.
I mean, everything, obviously, with Hogan, he's back in the fold. Fantastic. Mm. Nothing will go wrong. On July the 24th, 2015, WWE terminated their contract with Hogan. Mm-hmm. Hogan's lawyer said that Hogan resigned. Why bother saying
that? Why do that?
Because you just go, oh, he was definitely fired.
He resigned because he realised he was racist. Yeah. I've died for
They time. Removed almost all references to Hogan from the WWE website. His merchandise was taken out of WWE shop. His entry on its WWE Hall of Fame page was removed. His downloadable character appearance in WWE 2K15 was cancelled.
Oh, so people weren't patching their games. So that would... Oh, because you wouldn't be able to play online. That's fascinating.
Yep,
because if you patched your game, he would be removed. And what if you wanted to fight as Hulk Hogan?
Yeah, well, he's gone.
Maybe you're really right wing.
He was also cut from WWE 2K16.
Oh.
So they were very much like, this is not going to blow over quickly.
Nice.
Because what had happened is National Enquirer and Radar Online had reported and published an anti-black rant that Hulk Hogan had made within the minutes of his very controversial leaked sex tape.
Yeah.
There are some really tricky issues about consent not on the part of Hulk Hogan, but on the way that this film emerged.
Mm. Bubba the Love Sponge.
That's right. It was his wife covertly filmed from a hidden camera that Hogan was not aware was there. Mm. On the film itself, Hogan, the most controversial part of it was he used racial slurs in relation to black men going out with his daughter. And I mean, the problem for Hogan is, like a lot of these things, wrestlers think, well, you know, I can twist my way out of this. And it was so blatant and clear and recorded. And in a moment where, you know, he why would you be banging on about this when you're having sex with someone's wife?
Yeah.
I mean, no, it's just mad.
It's confusing.
He admitted to being a racist to a point. I mean, Jesus.
Yeah, you've kind of sold yourself down the river a little bit there.
Am I a murderer of women? To a point.
To a point.
To a point. I mean, there were a lot of people came forward to support Hogan. Hogan did apologise for his remarks, saying he used language that's offensive and inconsistent with his own beliefs. Mm. Virgil said that Hogan has never given me a reason to believe he's a racist. Dennis Rodman said he is most certainly not a racist. And Kamala said, I do not think Hogan meant harm by saying that. Hogan is my brother.
Three strange.
Until he decides not to be.
Three strange character witnesses.
Very much so. Now, these are also men of Hogan's era. And they knew Hogan personally, and Hogan was obviously a huge, huge star. Mm. What was less supportive was the current brace of WWE superstars. Mark Henry had said he was very pleased by WWE's no-tolerance approach to racism, and he said he was very hurt and offended by Hogan's manner and tone. And Booker T said he was very shocked as well, and he called the statements unfortunate. Booker T had used the same racial epithet famously in WCW, where he was challenging Hulk Hogan, and he used a word that he would have been using in aggressive circumstances that would come naturally to him, I believe, at that time. And he said that, and when he says it on television,
it was very funny.
You see his whole body shake going, God, that's come out. We're coming for you! And then he says the word, and suddenly he just goes, oh, God.
I'm in so much trouble.
Oh, no.
Sensational Sherry is like patting him, going, don't worry, it's fine. Everything's going to be fine. It might not be fine, but everything's going to be fine. I mean, it's one of my favorite bits of wrestling.
Maybe it's not going to be fine, but it's happened, hasn't it? So there's no going back now. You can't get out, so bad luck. Onwards and upwards, move on.
It's so good. But yeah, what is it? Is Hulk trying to say that Booker T
Booker T came forward
and said, "Alas."
Well, no, I mean, Hogan quite wisely didn't sort of go, "Let's have a big debate about whether this word should be used."
Say it. Yeah, right,
he was absolutely 100%. You know, this is on me.
Yeah,
he gave an interview with ABC in August, so this is a month or a couple of weeks after the story is broken. He did plead forgiveness for his racist comments, and he said he attributed them to a racial bias that he inherited from his neighbourhood while he was growing up in Tampa.
He's in his 50s, for fuck's
sake.
Yeah. Fuck, mate. Well, he's worked right throughout his fucking career with black performers.
Hogan claimed the term that he'd used was used liberally among friends in Tampa. His former neighbours all disputed this claim. So, now, Hulk Hogan, there's an interesting thing we'll be seeing.
Who does
this.
That investigative journalism? Ever said the N-word? Yeah, I'm going to admit to it, aren't I, you fucking dickhead? Fuck me. Hello, knock, knock, knock. Did you know Hulk Hogan? What?
Would you use this word? Excuse me. Good God, no. The funny thing about Hogan is, over the years, he's always been tricky when it comes to telling a straight story.
Yes.
And this is all about how much Andre the Giant weighs. And when I lifted Andre the Giant over my head in front of 200,000 people at the Silver Dome, back gave way and it broke into four. It's all of thing. Yeah. And he almost seems to find it difficult to simply tell the truth. We see that actually in some incidents that come up. I mean, a bit like saying, you know, we're all talking about the Silver Dome backstage. The classic bit that really sort of, you go, what sort of guy is he? Is on this opening where Stone Cold and The Rock come out, Hogan actually said, I had no idea they were coming out. And it was when they came out, I was as shocked as everybody
Jesus
else.
Christ.
And people were like, That's not how WrestleMania works.
And you've been out of the fucking game for a long time. They wouldn't trust... Well, you've been out of the WWE for a long time. They would not trust you not to know that.
No, exactly. Anyway, it turned out they you know, within days, the WWE had released their behind-the-scenes of WrestleMania 30, a little documentary. And it's just Hogan and Austin and Rock explaining what they're going to do. So it's not even a case if you sort of go, oh, yeah, I can see how he made that mistake. He does not always tell the truth for no apparent reason. I suppose it's a little bit about the business, isn't it? Where he's like, it was amazing and it was all on the spur of the moment. And you go, yeah, but now they're filming backstage. Yeah, it's not like the 80s.
The Undertaker, The Last Ride.
Hogan was brought back in 2018. He was reinstated into the Hall of Fame and he actually went backstage and apologised to the locker room. His apology was also controversial because he basically...
Hulk! Come on!
In fairness, he'd written it down on a piece of paper. He gave a genuinely moving little apology, he just held it up and he kept pointing at it and winking.
I don't believe any of this.
Well, the apology was, he basically said a thing. I think the core nature of his apology to the locker room was he was saying, I am so sorry. This just goes to show you've got to be so careful about, like, who is watching you when you're talking and stuff. And people were like, no.
That was not the message.
No.
That was not
the
message.
Have you learned anything?
Oh, man, what are you doing, dickhead?
And so like, the New Day were very, very vocal about saying, you know, I really do not respect that, and I don't, I wouldn't want him back
particularly. Fucking good on them.
So they
They're
bring him
brilliant.
Back. They are.
And they are brilliant.
They bring Hogan back as a host of one of the Saudi Arabian shows. So they're very much
look, you can get away with a lot of shit out there.
Exactly. It's very much become the outlaw wrestling promotion is WWE Saudi Arabia, where anyone who is just, they're too old or they're too like toxic to use, you just go put them there.
Look, it's the part of the world we stuffed Richard Keys and Andy Gray.
Yes. Right? Yeah. It's not a place I'd feel comfortable going.
No.
I made it sound like there that I'm either gay or a journalist. I'm neither.
Jewish.
Yeah, well, I've got a touch of it. So, out they come. The breaking glass happens. Stone Cold comes in. Now this is great because Austin is very good as well to immediately pick up. You know, it's going to be back here at the Silver Dome. He says, and you know,
little joke.
Yeah, and Hogan, you can see that sort of thing of they're the lads together, and they're like, you got me, brother. I mean, just Austin is so on fire here. He comes out and he does that brilliant little bit where he sort of says, you know, you're the man. You've done it all. WrestleMania 1, and the crowd go, what? And he goes, WrestleMania 2, what? WrestleMania 3, what? And he gets all the way to WrestleMania 10 by doing that. And what's amazing is he's so in control, he's let them get what out of their system. And by the time he just moves on, he goes, you get the picture, like that. And then they're like, yep, we are happy that we don't need to do any more whats.
We got it out of there.
We've been whatted up to the max.
Nice.
We got to do it, and now we will not do it and ruin everything going ahead. And it is just, they have got the crowd in the palm of their hands in this. It's a majestic thing, and then suddenly The Rock's music hits.
Yeah.
And out comes The Rock. Now, the crowd can't believe that The Rock is there as well. I know he's main evented the last 2 years. He's not been announced for this card. You've got Stone Cold Austin and The Rock. My wife sort of said, is Ric Flair going to come out as well? And I was like, no, sort of, that would be wrong. There's no one else. It'd be like having The Undertaker out. You'd be like, oh, no, you're a character.
Yes.
And Flair coming out would be, I don't know, he's not on the same cartoon character level.
Mm. And he wasn't WWF. He wasn't kind of like the new, the Vince McMahon years, effectively.
The only other person you could, if you were doing it now, put in that group would be John Cena.
Yes.
He would fit in that way that he isn't quite human. And none of those people seem human to me.
He's a figure seller. He's a T-shirt seller. He is a one you can trust in a press conference.
Yeah.
He is.
I think there is a slight thing, you're absolutely right about that, which is all of these three people, when they come out, I don't panic. Whereas slightly with Ric Flair, you go, I wonder what Ric Flair we're going to get today. Are we going to get the one who's... as Ric Flair's got older, it's almost like his mouth has got... sort of, I don't know what's happened, but Ric Flair used to have a normal voice like this. And it's just a weird sort of, I don't know what's happened, but that would, I'd worry about him coming out and doing that. Yeah. You have all that. And him going, Silverdome. What did he say? Silverdome. Oh, yeah, got you. He's doing the thing. Rock is in a fitted top here, and Rock is really flexing with the other guys.
Oh, my
going,
God.
I could still be on top of this business.
No, he could be.
Yeah.
He's in imperious form. He looks amazing. He's sort of like wearing kind of like, I don't know. He's like, I mean, He's the only one who's not a wife beater or a racist in the fucking ring. But he looks fucking amazing. He never looked better. But he's wearing like this kind of almost like a vinyl top. It's like he's been in a lab or he's funded a lab that's got a new kind of cotton that's completely impervious to spillage.
It's called Black Mamba cotton because it's so tight it's like a snake skin. And it is. It's just... The other thing it sort of did for me is a little bit of a flex. Not just to sort of like because you can see he's so in shape. Mm. But it's one of those things where you sort of go, I'm wearing the sort of thing an Olympian would wear to warm up in. And you guys, you were great on the mic. And you had such a good persona. But I'm an athlete.
Yeah. And really the worst thing I've ever done was San Andreas is a bit shit. So that's the only worst thing I've done.
I've not seen Rampage, but at this point, it's not been made.
Keeps an advertising Amazon Prime. Not gonna indulge.
I am tempted.
I mean, it's based on the video game. Yeah. It's based, right. So is there, what was the other one? The gorilla was the main one.
Yep.
And he wasn't even white. So why have they made it into like a white kind
of
giant?
Well, he was a sort of grey gorilla, wasn't he?
I thought he was, am I getting confused with the video game Talkie?
Don't know. I don't know what that one is.
A big gorilla.
This is very much a conversation where we've each got 50% of the information, but none of it overlaps.
Do the other two. There's a lizard, and I can't remember the other third character.
No, I remember the big lizard, but I can't remember the third.
It was so exciting, that video game.
Oh, it was amazing.
Basically, three or four buildings, you'd climb up these skyscrapers, and you would just bray the holy fuck out of them.
Yeah,
and at the end, they would fall down.
Yeah, and then you had to keep on going. Boom, 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 boom.
Yeah. You kept in eating people, eating food, smashing windows. It was perfect. And you could jump on the top. If you jump on the top and when the skyscraper came down, you were in big trouble. You had to get off before it fell down. It was perfect.
It was
big. It was chunky. It was exciting. Oh, man.
How dare they take something so pure and go, and let's put a man in it. Just give me three monsters.
Give me three monsters.
What happens in the film? And you just go, dude, it's Rampage. The monsters break the buildings. And then
but
ends.
Only three of them.
Only three.
Only three of them.
Rampage, three's a crowd. That's the follow-up I intend to write.
You can play a bit. I've got no doubt in my mind that there will be an arcade ROM, MIME, emulator online that you could play right now. Let's link it in the newsletter.
Let's do that.
Because fuck knows I've contributed very little to that.
Monsters versus buildings. Is exactly the sort of thing that if you called it that, it would seem hipper, wouldn't it? And you'd go, that's so cool. What's it about? You remember Rampage? You know? But yeah, the pitch perfect opening. I don't think there's a better opening to WrestleMania than
this. No, it was fantastic.
And it just sets the stall out that it goes, certainly. You are in for something special.
And they cover the ring in beer. It's just like, how are they going to clean that?
It's so fucking disrespectful as well, isn't it? That you sort of go, before everyone comes out here, we're just going to soak this with light beer. And then we're going to go and you guys can do your little thing.
Have you seen the let's have a look here. I put it on our little silly thread we've got. Stone Cold Steve Austin's current Twitter page. Twitter picture. It's probably changed by now, but it's just Stone Cold Steve on sunglasses and a hat looking in. He looks like he may be on a boat, but he's joined by a dog that is looking like he's got his tongue out a little bit. Or maybe his gum. And he just looks a little bit disappointed, confused, discombobulated. And he appears to be wearing a snood.
He does. He's got a
dog with
snood
a snood on it. So just very enjoyable.
If you ever want to speak to Stone Cold Steve Austin on Twitter, I've noticed that all you need to do is you need to buy some of his beer. He has his own brand of beer. I forget what it's called. It's called something like Broken Skull Sessions or something like that. But it's made by a company, I think, called El Segundo. And it's only available in certain places in America. But I follow Steve Austin and I get to see his replies when he replies.
Yeah.
And the only thing he will reply to is people going, managed to pick up a 4-pack of this Stone Cold beer. Hope it's good. And he'll go, hope you enjoy it. Hell yeah.
Yeah,
like that.
Okay.
And people will just go, finally found some beer. And he's like, hope you enjoy it.
Right.
Like that. And it's like, there are people going, Steve, can you do me a favour? And I was just trying to work out a thing for a historical thing. Brian Pillman, when he first, and he's like,
Not about the beer. Yeah. Well, hey, Stone Cold, just bought this Sessions, Broken Skull Sessions IPA. It's really delicious. Hope I don't hit my wife after it. great. Yeah, I hope you don't too, son.
Hey, Steve, I've just printed out a picture of you and your dog, and I've stuck my tongue through the dog's mouth to make it look like I'm looking at you, but I have also bought one of your beers. So what do you make of that, you little prick? Have to respond.
Was he called the Dazzler or wasn't he? Was Daniel Bryan called the Dazzler or not?
I mean, it's worth saying. I mean, as we go into the first match, Triple H versus Daniel Bryan.
Yes.
There is a brilliant video that they do of Daniel Bryan. And at no point does he appear as the Dazzler. Point that out. It covers literally his career from a Turnbuckle Championship Wrestling, which is the place where he was trained by supposedly Shawn Michaels, most likely Rudy Boy Gonzalez. But didn't see the Dazzler.
No.
Didn't bring it up.
Look, a cult classic, not bestseller. That's all we're saying. But imagine Dragons. It's the music, and it's just like, oh, fuck, are we here already?
Yeah.
We are hurtling towards the future.
Aren't we? Yeah, Monster by Imagine Dragons. Now, this is, again, seen as being one of those great WWE video packages.
Yes.
This tells you everything you need to know if you've never seen Daniel Bryan before.
It tells you a lot about WrestleMania. I think WWE has... they had, I think at this point, before all of the new breed kind of started properly, mainlining? a lot of wrestlers have mainlined in the past.
That's true.
Headline. They were turning into an Imagine Dragons kind of product for me.
Yes.
Very corporate.
Yep.
Rock by the numbers.
Yep. And what you have here, actually, I mean, even though this is... Now, this song does work. It really does work. And I like the whole thing about, rather than them going, this is his boyhood dream, they go, he has become a monster in his quest to get what he wants. And I love it. He's not. He's obviously not a bad guy, but what they're saying is, they're not saying he's this blue-eyed guy and it's all he's ever dreamed of. But what they're saying is, they're going, he will stop at nothing.
Well, there's a lot of that in this show. There's a lot of subverting, kind of corrupting people, getting what they want, and people having to go to the dark side to get what they need.
This for me is the there are two storylines going on here. One is the storyline of Daniel Bryan, the WWE wrestler, who is trying to get the belt, and he keeps coming up against this authority who are pushing him down. The reason they're pushing him down is they don't think he's best for business. There's a great line that they come up with where they have Triple H saying, you know, and I think Stephanie, they say, he's not the man that we want. He's not the face of WWE. He's short, you know, he doesn't have the physique. They say he's at best a B-plus player.
It's such a good accusation, that. B-plus player is such
perfect. And what it's got here is a really, really difficult, sort of delicate storyline, where your storyline is based on the fact that you traditionally have been out of step with what the fans want. And in this one, your storyline is, you're saying, we are out of step with what the fans want and we will prevent it. But it's a storyline, so you know we're not.
Yes.
And it's so hard to get that right and not over tip it. Now, the thing with the Daniel Bryan thing is, it is rooted in truth. You know, he wasn't the person who they believed should have been the face of the company. But the fans made him so. Now, the brilliant thing about this is, they'd spent the previous year basically doing the Daniel Bryan run that we see. So he'd beaten John Cena at SummerSlam for the WWE title.
Yeah.
Since sort of 2013, the fan swell of appreciation towards him had been just unignorable. So he's got the belt. The second he gets the belt, Randy Orton cashes in his Money in the Bank.
Right.
And he's screwed out of the title because Randy Orton then is champion. They have matches over the next few months between Randy Orton and Daniel Bryan, where Daniel Bryan is always screwed, either by, you know, he wins the belt and then they go, nope, the crooked referee has said that it was a fast count and so it's taken away from him. Or Kane begins interfering in matches, or the special guest referee, Shawn Michaels, will give him a super kick. And they've run this for about 4 or 5 months, and then they basically go, okay, Batista's coming back, so let's get him ready for WrestleMania. And people, they put Daniel Bryan in the Wyatt family with Bray Wyatt, where he becomes a convert and things, and he's a bad... And people will not accept that storyline. They keep cheering for Daniel Bryan. They keep saying yes. And when Batista comes back, they boo the fuck out of him because they do not want Bryan to stop. So this angle is so brilliant, insofar as it taps into something real. As soon as something real comes in wrestling, it becomes so much more powerful. And Bryan in this match, I mean, they just do it so wonderfully, this bit, because I remember watching this and thinking, I can see what they've done. They've done this whole, you know, yes, will he get to the main event? But I think that they're going to teach us a lesson.
Yeah.
And I think they're going to just go, ah, fingers up to you, ah. And instead what they do is they go, we're going to play on the fact that they worry that we're going to give them the V's.
Yeah.
And we are going to make it look at every point like we've given ourselves an out. He comes out bandaged up.
Yeah.
You know, Triple H then attacks him after the match. So, oh, it's going to be difficult to get to the main event. He ends up going out in a stretcher in the main event. They continually go, here's the reason that he can't do it.
Yes.
So what a hero, but we're not letting him have it. And that thing where you're watching the match and it's really not about Daniel Bryan winning, it's about the WWE not having him lose.
Yeah.
You are hoping the whole time that the WWE will allow him to win. Mm. And that's such a weird, unique stipulation in a match.
Yeah.
For me, Daniel Bryan also, you know, his story is not just that I am a wrestler who is being held down. For me, the story is he was from the, you know, year 2000 when he first sort of became a name. He was independent wrestling. He epitomized it. He was a small guy who was never going to be in the WWE. Mm. He was always going to be at a certain level, but he would go out there, and if you loved wrestling, he was one of the best wrestlers in the world. And the WWE stuff, you know, you could take or leave. You'd watch it, but you didn't watch it for the wrestling. You watched people like Daniel Bryan for the wrestling, and you watched him on third generation videotapes, and you watched him on, you know, AVIs that, you know, were 1 minute 90 seconds long. And you would eventually watch him on sort of, you know, tape-traded DVDs that you could import from the States, you know. And all through that time, you know, you see in that video, they're saying, you know, the idea of him being a success in the WWE was, you know, pretty small. That was not the career path he was going to have. The idea that he would be fighting Triple H to get into the main event of WWF WrestleMania is so far beyond what anyone would have hoped for who was the biggest fan of Daniel Bryan. And so this match becomes a funny thing where it becomes that thing of saying, if you loved wrestling in the 2000s and you sought it out, then you were right, because its time has come and you're now at WrestleMania, and what you're seeing is you're seeing the end of a story that didn't begin last year in the WWE in 2013. You're seeing a story that began in fucking Texas in 1999.
Yeah.
And it's a story that you have followed the whole way with the same guy, and that guy is on the precipice of taking the biggest prize on the biggest stage of all. And it's just the most thrilling thing that you can do, and it's why wrestling can be so it's unique among forms of entertainment, that you can have a storyline that it just covers continents and time spans and you know, just life.
Mm.
And it all comes together on one night, and this night it's Daniel Bryan, and that is why this match absolutely fucking knocks shit out of everything else. Fucking
it does.
Thrilling.
And because Triple H is there, you're like, it's going to be a long match. Yeah. So he knows he's going to have to work pretty hard. But it's 25 minutes long. I mean, Stephanie McMahon is wearing, what can I show? It's like a weird business blazer on top.
Oh, I love
then,
it.
But then like weird kind of latex shorts.
Do you know what she looks like? She looks like a child that's gone to do a tap dance recital. And it's a spoilt child with a mother like, you know, one of those pageant queens.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly that. Where you watch it and you go, oh, God, look at this little shit.
It's so weird.
It's pitch perfect. Mm. Now, finally as well, Triple H's big entrance makes sense in this,
yes,
in this point. So he comes out, he's got three women dressed as sort of, he's very much in his sort of dead Conan, not Conan O'Brien, Conan the Barbarian stage. But he's brought out by three women who would become, you know, huge champions, yeah, in WWE, Charlotte Flair, Sasha Banks, and Alexa Bliss. And out he comes, and for the first time you go, yes, because he is supposed to represent this bloated corporation that he has full sway over.
Yeah, it's also quite anachronistic in its design.
Yeah, yeah, and you go, you're out of touch.
Yeah.
Look at you, the big wrestler with all the money, and he can just do what he likes.
Yeah,
and suddenly you go, this really makes sense for this match. Bryan comes out with sort of furry boots on, and furry boots, I mean, it's a sort of slight nod to people like Bruiser Brody, who are outlaws, who used to have those furred boots. But again, it's just, he does not look like their version of a champion. He comes out, at one point JBL refers to him as a garden creature,
Lola, Lola goes off him on at one point during the match. She said, you've been drinking milk from forgetful cows? And that's too weird for everyone. Call JBL. No one's having that.
Hey,
I've gone,
kids,
what?
Come over and drink some of this milk from the forgetful cow. Like, why are we doing that, Jerry?
Jimmy Savile. Sounds a bit dodgy, doesn't it?
It does. Look, Brian's music is also perfect.
Oh,
he comes
Ride
out
the Valkyries. Yeah. Oh, but like a kind of like a metal version.
And he's, yes, watching the entire stadium doing
I have never seen a performer, maybe it's just because of the first match, but I've never seen a crowd hotter for a WrestleMania match. I know we've talked about wrestling matches from the past. It is... perfect.
You know why this is also so important to the crowd is because this match, if it goes the way they hope it will, they're not going to have to sit through the main event of Randy Orton versus Batista. So they've actually got skin in this game, yes. You know? But geez, I mean, the actual response that he gets is incredible. Now, the Triple H in this match, I think this is one of Triple H's best matches of all time. And the reason for that is because he works really well as a bully character. Mm. And Brian is smaller than him, and he's quicker. So you don't get loads of Triple H having to do big moves and then sell because everyone's blown up. Mm. You get constant action. It never stops. When they first hook up, there's a bit where Brian does a sort of roll-up, and Triple H tries to hit him a few times, and Brian, I think, kicks him, and out goes Triple H. And he looks genuinely, not shocked, he looks, like, indignant that this man has actually managed to touch him.
Yeah.
He's like, how fucking dare
this
you?
This 5'8" man.
I know.
Stephanie said, I was very annoyed with that. Exactly how tall I am.
I should think in real life, Brian is a little under 5'8".
I reckon he's taller than that.
I should think he is. But this is just great because Brian does that sort of thing of being the underdog in this, and he is just flying at Triple H. Yeah. And he does underdog. He doesn't do can I win? You know, will he slip on a banana skin and little me might be able to sneak the pin? He's just like, I'm small and I'm going to tear your throat out. And the two of them work so well together. There's a little bit where they do a small package, just a pin.
Yeah.
And Triple H, his kick out of that is the best kick out of any small package I've ever seen because he kicks out like, shit, I'm stuck in this. And I need to really flick to try and get out of it. And it's just little bits like that. When you go, that kick out of the small package is the best I've ever seen.
Mm.
You know you're just watching something special. Mm. I never want to see Triple H selling. I don't want to see him doing selling because I never have any sympathy for him.
Yeah.
I never go, this huge, muscular Conan figure who owns a billion-dollar company. You know, I really feel for him. But what he does in this, of course, is Brian is very good at selling. He's a good fan favourite who needs heat. He's got good facial expressions. And Triple H can bully him and he can monster him. And I'm just going, come on, Brian, get up. Kick his fucking ass. The chemistry they have together in this is phenomenal. Mm. If I was Triple H, I'd have watched this and I'd have gone, do you know what? I actually work better in this role than I do, for example, when I'm taking on Batista.
Yeah.
You know, it's better for me to take on people that people love and try and ruin them because then it just works.
Be the hand of the company that you are.
Completely. I think at this point as well, this was one of the first times where people were beginning to say, maybe Triple H isn't selfish.
Mm.
Maybe he's doing the right thing for the business. Now he owns the business.
Right.
Maybe he will change. And he does become a lot better. He does a crossface on Daniel Bryan, and that move is very associated with Chris Benoit. But what it also sort of says is it says at WrestleMania, when you're doing that, you're going, I am doing a move that is slightly sort of a shoot move.
Mm.
We're sort of going, we're crossing a thing of taste here because this is serious.
Yeah.
And I find that sort of fascinating.
Rough. Yeah.
The commentators also on this match, who are JBL King and Cole, they do a fantastic job because all they do is talk about the match.
Mm.
They don't talk about what's coming up. They don't talk about, you know, so King, you've certainly had some furry boots in your time, whatever that would mean.
He'd never go responding to that.
Ah, puppies! and they just concentrate on the match. And you realise the power of commentators who are actually aiding the match rather than, and the clearest example of this is in the Divas Invitational. They are just talking about the match before, and it makes it so unimportant.
Mm.
The commentators make this match even bigger than it would have otherwise seemed. The actual end little bit, he does a missed running knee, Daniel Bryan, and he gets hit with the pedigree, and people go, shit, fuck. 1, 2, and he kicks out. And it's just the noise, the sound of hope, the sound of hope that WWE is going to be better than it's been. You know, just they scream. And just all the moves look really brutal because both men look like they're trying to win. A really simple thing in wrestling that people just don't do. Finally, Brian hits the knee and the audience has won, are jumping up and down. Mm. I think, you know, I don't think there is... You were talking about the crowd, about, you know, how you've never seen people more into a match. I don't think there is a more popular match in WrestleMania.
No.
You know, had they done, for example, Eddie Guerrero versus Brock Lesnar at a WrestleMania where Eddie won the title, yes, you could say that that probably would have been. But the reaction from the crowd here, as one, they've not only seen a really, really good match, they've also seen a result which is thrilling and has implications for the match they're going to watch later.
Yeah.
And it's just, I think it was... It still didn't seem possible until it happened. And when it happened, you went, shit, they're actually doing it right. It was proper fucking thrilling.
Yeah.
You get a post-match beatdown. And again, they're saying to the audience, look, he cannot possibly win. Mm. So he's had a good run.
Yeah.
But, you know, this is the way we'll take him out and it won't make him look bad.
Yeah.
Stupid audience. once that's over, Pete, 1 hour has passed. And I honestly, I looked at the thing and I was like, an hour?
What, I was like, sure?
Yeah.
Hour sure?
Yeah.
Right.
No, no. This,
I was going to say.
You could have watched all of that in this time. You know? But Jesus Christ, I watched it and I was like, how the fuck was that an hour?
Oh, yeah,
that,
no.
That felt like 15 minutes.
The most enjoyable bit of Triple H. I mean, Stephanie McMahon is really good as well. Like, she was really good.
Every time they cut to her and she's saying something as well.
Yeah.
She isn't just saying, go on then, go on. There's a great bit, I think, where he does a pedigree. And he kicks out a two and, you know, Triple H rolls back to see her. And she just goes, do it again! Do the pedigree again! Which I thought was, I don't know. It's just funny when people say stuff and you go, oh, they're actually saying, you know, there's proper some stuff, lovely, like with, I'd say, like an
some,
idiot.
With some of the, presumably, the pre-organised spots, the camera work, the camera mixing is really, really good as well. They didn't show the chair shot, I presume, for obvious reasons. But yeah, like they certain times throughout the whole of WrestleMania 30, they just seem to get the camera angles cut.
There
cut
is some
really
good stuff.
Well.
What you can see here as well is that's the thing that in recent years, and so we're only, what, 6 years away in time from this WrestleMania to the present day, is they've obviously looked at that and gone, that really works. Mm. And they've really upped the amount that they do the cuts and the crash zooms when moves are happening to the point now that I was watching, I can't remember what it was, but the first 20 seconds of I think the last NXT, maybe the NXT Great American Bash, I watched that for 30 seconds and I thought, I am going to be sick. It was there must have been 50 cuts within 20 seconds and I was like, I actually feel ill. Is this
fantastic?
Is this MK Ultra? is this what they're doing? Am I going to go out and start doing a really pro WWE episode of WrestleMe? Yes, I am, because it was WrestleMania 30 and I enjoyed it.
Very enjoyable.
Very good.
And that was just the first match.
I know, amazing, eh? God, imagine if this was free. Some people it is.
It is.
Very lazy.
But if you want to hear what happens next, because I want to know what happens next, we've not recorded it yet. Get on over to thepatreon.com/WrestleMePod.
Yeah, I think, you know, by the time that this comes out, I think we'll have just wrapped up WCW's Wrestle War 91.
Mm.
And I believe we're going to be tackling WCW's Super Brawl 91.
Come
which
on.
Is a fucking banger.
I've just said patreon.com/WrestleMePod. It's actually just WrestleMe.
It is,
WrestleMe.
WrestleMe. The Twitter is at WrestleMePod if you want to offer Pete and I bookings in small wrestling federations in the towns near where we were born.
Because, let's face it, a little bit thin on the ground at the moment, aren't you?
Very true. Pete, will you wrestle me?
Yes, Mark, I will wrestle you.
2 years of changing the title. Bye!
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously,
man. Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And on my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.